we concluded that it does seem that policing in America has become more militarized for a variety of reasons.
Marina Lowe of ACLU Utah.
I think I mentioned before that there were some concerns around SWAT activities. And our report found that of the SWAT deployments that were reported to us, 62% of them were for drug searches, not for sort of the high-risk scenarios you might think that they would be used for.
Now here's Representative Paul Ray with a question for Lowe.
Would you define what militarization is?
I think it's a much broader concept, and I'll just give you my own personal definition. It may be different for others. Law enforcement's job is to work with the people that they serve, obviously to fight crime, but they're not viewing the people in their community as the enemy, which I think is different and juxtaposed against the way somebody on the battlefield is viewing their enemies. And the concern that we have when we're talking about transferring military weapons and military tactics from the battlefield to local communities is that we're not dealing with the same sort of objectives.
You mentioned Ferguson. The deal in Ferguson, I think, had nothing to do with the militarization of police. The shooting is with a handgun. It was a typical policing incident where you're going to question somebody because of suspicious activities. It happened. I'm not saying whether it was justified or not, but right. It had nothing at all to do with this program or militarization of police. Do you realize the majority of people arrested were not citizens of Ferguson? They were from out of state. They came in specifically to protest and cause problems. It wasn't their citizens that they were fighting against. It was anarchists, and it was people that have an agenda that what they do is go around and try to cause problems. Let's make sure that that's out in the public. You know, you keep talking about militarization. Well, these guys have the same goal every day, is to go home to their families. And when we restrict what they can do and what they can use, we're risking their lives. And I think we need to, if we're going to protect the public, we need to have the same armament and the same firepower that the guys, that the criminals, the gangbangers on the streets going to have, so that we can combat that.
Senator Daniel Thatcher offers his perspective.
I'm sorry, I have never seen an officer treat a citizen of the state of Utah as an enemy. And I completely reject that idea.
This is a national trend. I'm not talking about specific officers. I'm not trying to malign law enforcement in any way. I'm saying that this is something that over the course of a period of time, and particularly thanks to a program instituted by the federal government, that creates incentives for local law enforcement to use these types of equipment that send a message to local communities that they are being viewed as the enemy.
I had a personal experience of an armed bank robber coming on my little dead-end street.
Now Representative Dana Layton.
And it was right after that when it was known that they were sort of underarmed. And my husband happened to be cleaning his M16 in the garage. So he ran it out to the Orem police officer and said, "If you can use this here." And the guy's like, "Yes, thanks," and took it. But
Colonel Daniel Fuhrer of the Utah Patrol. And I can sympathize with Ms. Lowe. I understand that she comes from a perspective where she hasn't had a gunshot round go 2 inches over her head wearing a ballistic helmet thinking, "Thank God I have a helmet," has not jumped off of a helicopter. Search for Mr. Curley after he shot and killed Brian Harris, wishing you had an MRAP, has not had a Molotov cocktail blown at your feet as you feel the fire running up your legs, thinking that you have a Nomex suit on. So different perspectives give people different opinions.